talking about being dragged. That was one of the years, it must have been my early years at Concordia, those 6 years. But nobody ever told me. Dad had gone to a conference, and like those conferences were, you know, they were, the sessions were held in the church, and the people would house the pastors, and often would offer them their buggy and their horses to drive to the sessions and then come back for the night, you know. So usually the congregation lays aid, like they did in my early days, yet provide the noon meal, and so the pastor would go there. And somehow, when he was at concert, I don't know who his partner was, there's usually two pastors, they were given the team of horses and what I call either buggy or spring wagon with two seats, you know. And somehow there was a runaway. The horses ran away. I don't know whether Dad was driving or whether the other. Maybe if he had been driving, he probably could have helped himself. But he was thrown out with some automobile or something that scared, you know, that was really those days that were, they weren't too well known, because my first automobile I saw when I was 12 years old. My last year down at Auburn, kind of a red little roadster came going by, and oh, that was something big, you know. I'd never seen an automobile before. So I imagine they might have been frightened by a car sailing by, and there was a runaway. And he was thrown out of the buggy, and somehow, I don't know where, by being thrown out, I just can't picture it to myself. I understood that his heel or leg was caught in something, and he was for half a mile or something, the horse is running like crazy. He was running, he was being dragged behind with his head bumping along, and something Hattie told me that I didn't know till Hattie visited. When Dad, you know, then was in Hastings and died, they found that he had a splinter of wood that was jabbed into his through his skull into the brain. And that's what very likely brought on gradually. You know, he was unconscious, I think, for over a week. And the funny thing is, if he was so bad that Mother never wrote, nobody ever wrote.
But then when he recovered from that, he went back to preaching.
Well, he went back to preaching. I preached and taught school for several more years. But he gradually felt that he'd be on the pulpit, and all at once he couldn't think. He lost his, you know, he was one who never used his manuscript. There was never in front of him. And he just memorized, and then all at once he got to the point where all at once he had to say, I'm sorry, but then he had his manuscript in the back of the Bible. So he would take it out and find the place, and maybe he could go on. See, I was at home when that happened. I do remember my last year when I did get to go home once more, because Walter was going to quit then, you know. He was there, that's his third year. He was in Quarta. He was stammering them on my brother Walter. And we had, and I believe I mentioned that to you, had on Saturdays gone out and husked corn together and earn some money, and that Thanksgiving Day I had gone with my big husky sacks, 60 in my room number 10 to his home. He invited me to go along with him to Coal Camp, Missouri, and there for several days I put up corn, you know, in these teepee kind of corn shucks, you know. Mm-hmm. And we earned enough money so that Walter and I could go home. And then that's when I explained to Dad that Wally just couldn't go on anymore. And he did. He quit then. But I went back and finished my last year at Concordia. And that Christmas, Dad just simply... Bakke, you know, that's my sister Margaret's husband. His dad, Bill Bakke, he would have reading service. But I was just about to have been ready at that time, and I was just... And so my dad just decided, and he talked it over with the circuit counselor and the children, and he thought he just couldn't go home like that.
How old was he at that time?
But that's just the pity of it. He was only 56 years old. When he was about 50 when he left Auburn there, you know, and went to Gilead. Now he was past about 6 years. But if that accident hadn't happened, I'm sure. My goodness, well, I remember one time at Auburn, you know. You don't remember where that house was, and that church where the church didn't stand anymore.
Yeah.
There wasn't so far up between, and Dad was the one when in the summertime the windows had to be all open because it was too hot. Boy, with what voice he could preach. I was really impressed as a boy by my dad's preaching. And I so often wished if I could only have had a tape. That's why I've got several tapes of my own preaching, so that as I'm gone, maybe the kids will remember just about how I sounded. Anyhow, that is through what Hattie said, I can understand that. I guess that gradually, although it must have kind of grown over in his brain, where that splinter went through the skull, and it wasn't detected. I can understand when he was unconscious so long that they couldn't detect where he was hurt. He surely must have been bumped. And by falling, I guess, falling out, he must have fallen against something of the buggy, or
yeah,
that there was something on the road, that there was a splinter of wood.
So it just gradually got worse till his memory failed him and he had to leave.
I never really did know, I guess, until that last Christmas when all at once he was all prepared for a service and he just said, I just can't preach, you know. He never had gotten used to just simply then